the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, written by Joseph Mindell, Thy Father's House.
What are you doing, Sarai?
Do you have to ask, Abram? I'm packing our possessions as you told me to do.
We cannot take that chest, Sarai.
I brought it from my father's house when I came to you as a bride.
I remember.
We will take it.
It is too heavy to carry. We will be traveling.
Why?
We are leaving Haran.
Where are we going?
I don't know. Take two smaller chests instead.
How long will we be gone?
I don't know.
Will we ever come back?
Sarai, this is not a time to sit down and rest. I'll call a servant girl to help you pack.
I am not resting. Abram, if you want me to obey without question, if after all these years you want me not to talk, not to ask, then tell me so.
Now, Sarai.
Or else tell me why. Why are we leaving Haran, leaving your father, our families?
You have a right to know, Sarai. Because we are commanded to leave.
In the city of Haran, who commands Abram?
The voice of the Lord spoke to me, Sarai, saying, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto the land that I will show thee. Is something wrong, Sarai?
I am waiting to hear the rest.
How do you know there is more?
Now, Abram, why should you think I would not know? The stone idols in the marketplace, the priests speaking for the stone gods give commands without reasons, as if men and women had no mind, and no hearts, no thoughts, and no imaginings. Are you going to tell me all that you heard?
Listen, Sarai. The voice of the Lord spoke, saying, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. There is no more to tell, Sarai.
Do you believe it, Abram?
I believe it.
The voice spoke, and therefore we pack all that we carry and we go?
Yes.
We leave our homes and our friends, Abram, and we obey without question?
As you say, Sarai. Without question.
So Abram went, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot, his brother Sodom, went with him. And all their families, wandering from one place to another, stopping, then moving on, they came into the land of Canaan, and they were strangers in a strange land.
We'll build it here, Eliezer.
As you command, Abram.
Then bring stones. Let the boys and young men help you bring many stones.
Up, all of you. There's work to be done.
They will find no shortage of stones here, Abram.
Yes, it is a rocky soil.
Well, we'll manage. At least the journey is ended.
Not yet, Sarai.
But those stones that Eliezer is collecting...
They are for an altar to God.
But I thought... Abram, isn't this the land that was promised?
Not to me, Sarai. Unto thy seed, said the Lord, will I give this land.
Thy seed, Abram. I see it.
The stones, Eliezer. Why is it taking so long?
It's no use pretending that you didn't hear me.
I hear you, Sarai, and I know what you are asking.
And you? Do you have no questions?
Because I cannot foresee what is to happen? There may come a time for questions, Sarai, but it is not yet. Then see that the women are ready. When the altar is built, we will continue our journey southward.
Go back into the tent, Sarai.
Where are you going, Abram?
I must see that all the people have shelter.
Abram, pack animals are scattered by the storm.
Let them go, Eliezer.
But the valuables and the household...
Let them go, I say. Are the tents holding up?
Yes, but for how long? I have never seen such a storm. There's never anything like this at home.
At home?
I meant to say...
I know. Eliezer, there may be worse than storm winds before we reach a home.
Sarah?
Shh.
What are you listening for?
There is no crying, Abram. The children have no strength to cry.
I know. How much food is left?
In the whole camp, a handful of flour and some dried fruits.
You hear, Eliezer? Now tell us what you found.
I went north and east to the settlements we'd already passed in our journey. Here, Abram. Here's the gold you gave me when I left.
You could buy no food?
There is nothing to buy. There's a famine in the land of Canaan. People are dying of starvation in the fields, in the houses.
I put aside a crust of bread for you, Eliezer.
Do you understand, Abram? Starvation. Famine.
Stop it, Eliezer.
I want to ask you something, Abram.
Not now.
Let him speak.
I have no need to ask on my account. I am your servant. I do what you bid me do, and I go where you tell me to go. But you, Abram.
Yes, Eliezer.
Was it for this that you left your father in your father's house, for privation and endless wandering?
You wait for an answer?
Oh, I know the answer.
Do you? Still, I will tell you. It was not on account of the journey alone that I set out, but for the journey's end, which is not yet.
So strike the tents, Eliezer. Gather the herds.
It's no use, Abram. There's famine and death in the whole land of Canaan.
Then we will go down into Egypt to see if we can live.
Keep the shawl over your head, Sarai.
But I can't see through it.
Do as I say.
We are strangers in Egypt, Captain.
That's obvious.
We have come to buy food, with your permission, of course.
What's wrong with her? Why is her head covered?
For protection, Captain, against sun and wind.
Sergeant, we'll have a look at her.
Yes, sir. You're Canaanites, aren't you?
We have come from Canaan.
That's what I said. I'll tell you, Captain, I never yet saw a Canaanite woman with a face worth protecting.
Remove the shawl, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Oh.
Wow. This one's a beauty, Captain.
Take your hands away, Sergeant.
I was only admiring her.
She's not for the likes of you.
I understand, sir. Privileges of rank.
You're a fool, Sergeant. She's for the Pharaoh himself. You, when I give the signal, you follow behind my soldiers with all your people. Come, Sergeant.
And now, Abram, what happens now?
I don't know.
But you are still silent. It is still not time to question.
Sarai, I can only tell you what I believe.
I know what you believe. But are you so sure that you are meant to believe unquestioningly?
The Lord protected Sarai in Pharaoh's house so that he neither harmed nor touched her. When the famine ended, Abram and Sarai went out of Egypt, and Lot with them, and all their people, and they returned to Canaan. When the land could no longer support the flocks and herds of both, Abram spoke to his nephew Lot.
Let there be no strife between us, for we are brothers. Choose where you will live.
Lot chose the plain of the Jordan and dwelt in the cities of the plain as far as Sodom, while Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan. And when Lot was gone, the Lord called Abram, and he answered,
Here am I.
And the Lord said, Lift up thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. After the Lord had spoken, there was silence. And Abram sat in the door of his tent while thoughts turned to words within him.
Oh, Lord God.
Abram. What is it, Abram?
What do you give me, O Lord? What? What? Sarai, come and stand beside me.
I am here.
Turn to the north, Sarai. Turn. Now southward. And east. And west. How far do you see?
You don't have to question me, Abram. I know what you mean.
Then let me also learn to know. How far, Sarai?
Far. Very far.
And what do you see?
The land of Canaan.
I have walked through the whole land, the length of it and the breadth of it.
Eliezer!
I hear you, Abram. I'm coming.
Eliezer, my servant, my good servant. More than a servant, almost like a son.
I am pleased if you think so.
Look at the land of Canaan, Eliezer, look. For you, Eliezer, will be the inheritor.
Oh, no, I never wanted that. You must believe me, Abram.
Was I not told, all the land which thou seest, I will give it to thy seed forever? And are you not like a son, Eliezer?
Abram, I...
Be still, Eliezer. You don't have to say anything.
No, for he is not a son. Oh, Lord God, what do you want of me, since I am childless?
A question shimmered in the air of the universe, and the asking was itself the beginning of an answer. And Abram's soul was lifted as if he had been tested and found whole. And then the Lord God caused a deep, restful sleep to fall upon Abram. And when he woke...
Were you watching over me while I slept, Sarah?
I was frightened.
Why?
I thought God would be angry with you because of the questions.
You also ask questions? Even as long ago as the day we left Haran?
It is not the same.
No?
Of course not. I spoke to you. But you speak to God.
I was not angry with you.
Why should you be?
Yes, why? And do you think that God has less forbearance?
When your eyes were closed, Abram, it seemed to me that you were listening.
Yes.
And once you smiled.
Because of what I heard.
You're smiling again. Tell me what you heard.
These are the words I heard. Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son, and she shall be the mother of nations.
At my age? What did you call me?
what I was told to call you. As for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah, which is princess.
Sarah. I suppose I'll become accustomed to it, Abram.
No, not Abram. For he said, thy name shall be Abraham, for the father of a multitude of nations shalt thou be.
Mother of nations, father of a multitude. Abraham, do you believe it?
I believe it, Sarah.
Yet only a little while ago you questioned...
So that I might understand.
Maybe you are not meant to understand.
Then how can I choose one way rather than another?
Long, long ago we left Haran and your father's house because of a voice that you heard. But I did not hear it, and so it was easier for me to question.
It was 25 years ago.
Yes, we began our journey 25 years ago. We have wandered for so long in so many places. I am tired of being a stranger in every land, questioning the ways of men and...
And of God?
Can't we believe without asking anything, without having to choose? Abraham, can't we just believe?
How can we, Sarah? God wants us to choose.
Now the Lord appeared and talked with Abraham, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee throughout their generations. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land of thy sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Walk before me, and be thou wholehearted. Abraham heard, and, bowing his head, was content to be silent. But there was yet to be a day when God and man would speak together as never before since the creation of the world. On this day, Abraham sat in the door of his tent by the terebinths of Mamre. He lifted up his eyes and saw that three men stood beside him.
Sarah? We have guests.
Three strangers stood beside Abraham, but only one spoke.
We are passing by on the way to our destination.
The sun is hot. You must be tired and hungry. Sarah, bake fresh bread for our guests. Eliezer, bring water.
Yes, sir.
Will you sit here under the tree?
We will stop for a time.
Eliezer, fetch a calf from the herd and bring milk and cheese.
I will.
You have the look of travelers who have come a great distance.
Yes, a great distance.
And you have a long way still to go?
No, not long.
Then there is time to eat and drink and rest.
Where is Sarah, your wife?
She is in the tent.
Did you call me, Abraham?
Our guest asked for you.
Abraham, I will come back to you when it is time.
You are welcome, but I do not understand.
By the time I come back again, your wife, Sarah, shall have a son. Oh. Why did Sarah laugh, Abraham?
Did she laugh? If so, she meant no discourtesy.
Did she perhaps say to herself, shall I bear a son, old as I am?
I did not laugh.
Are you afraid, Sarah?
Yes.
There is no reason.
Will I really have a son?
As I have said, and you shall call him Isaac, because you did laugh.
Your two companions, they've gone.
Yes, Abraham. To do the work they were sent to do in Sodom and Gomorrah.
Lot, my brother's son, lives in Sodom.
For your sake, he will be spared. There is no question you wish to ask.
I am afraid to hear the answer.
But you will hear. For the Lord has said, shall I hide from Abraham that which I am doing? for I have singled him out that he may instruct his children and his household to keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice. Still no question, Abraham?
If I have questioned before, it was for my sake alone, so that I might find the way of righteousness and justice.
And now?
Now I must ask for the inhabitants of the world. Will Sodom and Gomorrah be destroyed?
They are evil cities.
Surely their people are of many kinds.
The people lie and cheat. They steal, they murder. They commit every kind of abomination. The people are evil. The end is justly decreed.
No.
Be careful, Abraham.
If you want the world to endure, how can there be pure justice, untempered by mercy?
It does not matter what I want.
And if you desire pure and absolute justice, then how can the world endure?
It is not a question, but a challenge.
Men cannot live in the world without an answer.
Abraham, I am not sent to do the work. Your dispute is not with me.
Abraham stood on the high place that looked down toward the cities of the plain, and he drew near to the Lord and spoke.
Wilt thou indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? If there are 50 righteous within the city, wilt thou not forgive the place for the 50 that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Shall not the judge of all the earth do justly?
For one instant, it is told, the whole world stopped, waiting for an awesome judgment. And then the Lord spoke, saying, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will forgive all the place for their sake.
Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, who am but dust and ashes. Perhaps there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5?
And the Lord said, I will not destroy it if I find there 40 and 5.
Perhaps there shall be 40 found there.
And the Lord said, I will not do it for the 40's sake.
Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Perhaps there shall 30 be found there.
And the Lord said, I will not do it if I find 30 there.
Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Perhaps there shall be but 20 found there.
And the Lord said, I will not destroy it for the 20's sake.
Let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet this once. Perhaps 10 will be found there.
And the Lord said, I will not destroy it for the 10's sake. And he went his way as soon as he had left off speaking to Abraham. Abraham could not save the cities of the plain, for the safety of cities lies in their inhabitants. But Abraham spoke with God as was intended when the first man was created in God's image. And having heard the voices, no man can ever forget what is possible for all men, so that many cities and their people may yet be saved.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 25 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York, New York, 10027. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Rabbi Josiah Darby, spiritual leader of the Rego Park Jewish Center, Rego Park, New York. Rabbi Darby.
How do we reconcile Abraham's faith with his doubts? Are not faith and doubt incompatible? This ancient tale reveals the answer that Judaism gives to this decisive problem. Faith, it tells us, requires submission to the will of God, but it does not demand the suppression of man's inherent need to express his anguish and frustration at a world he has failed to perfect. For in our story, God was not angered by Abraham's doubts and questions. Instead, God reassures Abraham that the covenant will be kept through the birth of a son, incredible though it may appear, and that Sodom will be spared if it contains even as few as 10 righteous men. Indeed, the inner voice of the Bible tells us that God expected, hoped as it were, for Abraham to challenge him. One obtains the same unavoidable impression in the story of Moses as he endeavors to persuade God not to destroy the children of Israel for the sin of the golden calf. Here we have another radical departure from ancient paganism, a giant step forward in man's struggle to religious maturity. For in paganism, the gods were never questioned. This uncritical attitude to the gods implied an uncritical attitude to the world and its evils. Hence, there could be no human progress in the pagan world. In rejecting paganism and postulating instead the one God who is, in Abraham's words, the sole judge of the whole world, Judaism had to draw the conclusion that he is also just. How then does he tolerate injustice? How explain Auschwitz? One answer is that God is dead. If so, whom shall we challenge? But those who have Abraham's faith can hear the voice of God, who answers by saying, "Injustice is not my problem. It is yours."
Thank you, Rabbi Darby. Our Eternal Light program today, Thy Father's House, was written by Joseph Mindell. Cantor David Futterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured today was Mandel Kramer as Abraham and Ethel Everett as his wife, Sarah. Others in the cast were Alan Bergman, Lon Clark, Joseph Julian, and David Ross. The narrator, Arnold Moss. We invite you to join us next week when the Eternal Light will present a special program in observance of Passover. This is Jerry Damon. The Eternal Light is directed by Kenneth McGregor and is presented weekly under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.